Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome you this morning. So it's really good to see you, and of course, it's Valentine's Day, and we trust that the love of Christ is permeating your heart. But isn't it wonderful to have the people of God in great fellowship, to know that we're part of the great family of Christ? Amen? And I was thinking of that wonderful verse in the Bible that says that we did not love him, but he loved us first and gave himself to be the propitiation or the sacrifice and the go-between so that we can become one with God and one with each other. And I think the importance of becoming one with God is a significant, but more significantly is that we have oneness one with each other as well in the body of Christ. Amen? So we welcome you here this morning. Let's pray, shall we? Lord, we thank you now for this great opportunity to come together around the cross that demonstrates again the love that you gave to us, a pouring out of yourself for our eternal good. And Lord, today we want to say that not only do we love you, but we want to obey and follow you out of a free will offering. Bless the service today. May the Holy Spirit permeate this sanctuary. And O Lord, may everything that is said and done be to the praise of your glory. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen.
That you love one another, that
Praise the Lord. Thank you. God bless you. Praise the Lord. I trust that you are doing well this morning. I want to read from 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who knows love has been born from God and knows God. Whosoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love amongst us. He sent his only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we should love God first, but that he loved us and sent his only Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No one has seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. We're going to watch our time because we want to enjoy the cookies that Deanna has made, and they're all shaped in the form of hearts, so I saw. So good morning, and welcome to our service. And we are so delighted again to see Deanna again, and Damien, and Darlene. We trust that you're enjoying the service this morning. Praise the Lord. Let's turn in our Bibles then to Ephesians chapter 5. Before we go much further, we want to let us know that John's message from Ephesians chapter 4, 17 to 32 last week clearly defined what it means to be God's new creation, translated out of darkness into God's marvelous light through his Son, Christ, who has loved us. And as John said last week, those that are born again, that are renewed in their spirit, that have been translated out of darkness into God's kingdom of light, because they are new creations, they have taken off the grave clothes of desolation and despair, and we have put on the grace clothes of righteousness. So we recall last week that John gave seven things that should happen as we take the grave clothes off. First of all, we walk not as the Gentiles do in the vanity of their mind, Ephesians 4:17. We put off the former conversation of the old man, Ephesians 4:22. We are renewed in the spirit of our mind, in Ephesians 4:23. And then we put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness, Ephesians 4:24. And then we give no place to the influence of the devil, Ephesians 4:27. We grieve not the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 4:30. And then we learn to be kind one to another as we are prompted and promoted by the living God, because God for his sake has forgiven us. And so we have quite a call to action here. Unquestionably, there is such an onus of responsibility to have a radical life change that emanates the love of Christ in our life to the life of others. From our perspective, that is a very, very heavy responsibility. Don't you think so? Very, very onerous, demanding, crushing responsibility. And the question asks, from our perspective, this is totally implausible, impossible, and improbable. How, in heaven's sake, are we ever going to accomplish this? Well, the answer is provided through our brother Paul, who has written in Ephesians chapter 5, 1 to 8, these words: Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savour. But fornication and all uncleanness and all covetousness, let it not be once named amongst you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, no unclean person, no covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of God in Christ. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Now, my message this morning is 23 pages long, and we're going to relax because we're not going to go that far. But, as I said, the Apostle Paul now has given us three clear, systematic profiles by which we may walk to the standard of righteousness that reflects the clothing that we have put on. Some weeks ago, Donna and I were watching Bonanza. And on this specific Bonanza show, there was a military entourage that had come through Virginia City on their way to the West. And this captain was not fluent in knowing the correct way to get across the desert to get to California. When he comes into Virginia City, he meets up with a man who we'll call Charlie. And Charlie is quite the articulate person for alcohol. And he is inebriated throughout the movie for about half of it. And all of a sudden, the captain recognizes Charlie, that he was the leader of a battle and had enabled the military to win the battle because of his stalwart knowledge of the land territory in which the military had been marching. And he asked Charlie to be his scout. His scout. And as they leave Virginia City to go on, the military goes with him a certain distance, and then suddenly they stop. And the captain says to Charlie, "From where do we go now for safe passage?" And Charlie looks at him and he says, "But we first need to find water." And Charlie explains to the captain that he's not too sure where it is, but if he goes ahead, he will find it. And all of a sudden, he leaves the troops, and he moves out on his own, and he finds water, and he comes back, and he gives direction how to find it. My dear brothers and sisters, if we are to find the route to be devoted, directed disciples of Christ, then we need to have a scout that has gone before us. Paul the Apostle is now going to bring us through a sense, a perspective of welcoming directive by following scout Christ, our leader. And he is going to tell us in this passage that there are three ways by which we can understand coming back through the fullness of God. But notice, in verse 1, he starts out by saying, "Follow God." Now we need to understand that this is not the very first time in Scripture that people have been urged to follow God. In Mark 8:34, Jesus gives this great appeal. "And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." The significance of moving beyond ourselves and the grave clothes that we used to have. For the Bible says that at one time we were dead in our sins. We were the people of darkness, and our minds were taken up with sin. We were alienated to the commonwealth of grace, and we were outside the commonwealth of Israel. But now, because of God's great grace, we have been brought into the family of God. In Ephesians chapter 1, you might remember that before the world was shaped, we were predestined to be the adopted children of God. And so, if that is our status, then Paul the Apostle will affirm to us that the significance of following God should be our primary focus, so that we can safely come back to the kingdom and have fellowship with God and with Christ and with one another. Following, then, is a personal, committed choice of a lifetime. And following God entails the discreet desire that everything, including ourselves, including our family, including all the enticing elements of this world, comes secondary or is clouded out by the glory of the presence of the living Christ who has brought us back to God. And so now, in the simplicity of Paul's announcement, he wants us to know that we are to follow God. Following God, then, needs to be wholehearted, and it needs to be determinate. We need to adopt in simplicity Christ's words, "I have come to do the will of the Father. Those things which he has told me I speak." And then, in John 20:21, we need to hear his words, "As the Father has sent me, so send I you." In the Christian walk, there is no negotiation with God as to what kind of a lifestyle we are to demonstrate as we live out the grace of Christ that has transformed us into this new creation, all for the glory of God Himself. Amen? That's what it's all about. So it is a purposed. It is a provocative. It is a promised devotional trust to God that we will do all to the praise of His glory as we walk with Him. Mediocrity or waffling back and forth does not fall within the scope of following God. Scripture reminds us that a double-minded individual is unstable in all his ways. James 1:8. Often, when people go to work, they think that they're able to be sufficiently accepted as long as they put in time. I'm sure you've heard that statement. One day I was at a job at the door factory and the boss came to me and he said, "Tell me what you're doing." And I said, "Well, I don't think you'll understand it." He said, "Well, give me a try." I said, "I'm working." He says, "You're right." He says, "I don't understand it." And of course it was a joke because most people told him they were putting in time. But with Christ in the kingdom, putting in time does not measure up with the faintest witness of belonging to Christ and the kingdom. It's devotional trust and devotional following wholeheartedly, unreservedly. Remember in Revelation, the Bible says to the church at Ephesus, the one problem they had, they were neither hot nor cold. And because they were neither hot nor cold, the Bible tells us that God was going to spew them out of His mouth. Now, I don't know if any of you has ever had lukewarm coffee or a lukewarm drink. I remember last night we were at Irma Seward's place, the lady that we're praying for cancer, and they made a coffee. And as we were watching the Olympics and the news, I got overtaken with the distraction of time. And I left my coffee on the table. And just as we were leaving, I picked up my cup to check one more time if there was any coffee left in. And of course, I took a sip and it was very, very cold and, you know, and I had to just leave it and throw it into the sink. I like my coffee hot or I like it cold with ice. But I do not like lukewarm coffee. And so, my dear brothers and sisters, you and I know it's preferred to see someone dead in their trespasses and sins and know where they stand. Or it's great to see somebody exuberant in the Holy Spirit in their walk for Christ, to know where they stand. But when I see believers waffling back and forth, not doing sure where their birthplace is, then I begin to wonder whether or not they have any appreciative knowledge of all that Christ has done for them. Paul tells us then that we are to be followers of God as dear children. Notice what Paul states about how he walked with God in Christ. Philippians 3:8. "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the things of all that I possess. And I do not count them of any value, but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him, and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, and being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I also am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count myself not to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto the things which are before, I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Perhaps, in light of the Olympics being here now, we can understand this passage very, very clear. Come with me to the starting block at the Olympics and see the runner poised on the starting block. He's poised. He's ready to go. Everything, absolutely everything from his past is forgotten. everything in his present mind is towards the future, the mark of the high calling, the end line. And he stands there poised. His breath is held. His mind is concerted on the one fact. The gun is going to go off. And he rests. All is silent. Bang! Bang! He's gone. Down that one simple course lies the preponderance of the evidence. It's not the finish line. It's not the gold that's going to hang around his neck. The preponderance of the evidence is that he presses towards the mark. He's 100% committed, devoted, and challenged to make the course. But how has this man become prepared to make the course? He's had a coach. He's had a trainer. He's had a scout who in previous days has done exactly the same course that he presently is going to do. And so Paul says, if you and I are chosen to run the race through predestination, and we've been invited to run the course through adoption, then it is very, 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 very important that you and I do the course with absolute, unreserved, wholehearted, determined commitment. And that's how we are to follow God, confident that God has empowered us to complete the race, fully accepted by Him, and fully complemented with His power and His direction, because He has already gone before us. To follow God in concert or agreement with all that it takes comes through His wisdom. And if you should lack any wisdom, James says, ask of God, and He will give it to you personally so that you can run the race. Next week, we want to look at not only following God, but we want to discover how we are to follow God. And our first directive is as His dear, welcomed, loved, cherished children. And then the next Sunday, we'll look at how we follow God. We walk in love exactly as He has loved us. And then on the last Sunday, we're going to look at how we follow God. We walk as light and not in darkness. And then after this, we're going to be able to discover from Ephesians chapter 6, I believe it is, how to put on the armor of God so that after having done all, we may stand. And then having done all, stand in Him. Amen? Praise the Lord. God richly bless you. God richly bless you for taking the time to listen to this CD. It is trusted that your heart has been edified to a deeper walk with Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. If we can be of any assistance to you in praying for you or speaking into your life the love of Christ, please do not hesitate to email me at nesmer@aol.com. Or if you have a special prayer request that you would like to get to us directly, you may phone me at 604-760-7552. On behalf of the congregation at Harvest Church, Maple Ridge, I invite you to join us Sunday mornings at 10:30 for our regularly scheduled services. On the first and third Sunday evenings at 6:30, we have our hymn sing and our film night. You are cordially invited to join us if you are in the area. Remember, the supreme love of Christ is exemplified through a godly life of submission that is always followed through with obedience to His call. God richly bless you, yours in Christ, as we work together with Him for kingdom advancement.